This is CBS News, New York's farewell. Morton Dean reports from St. Patrick's, where the body of Senator Robert Kennedy lies in state. A private mass, Patrick Riley, reports on service at Vatican City. Fast action, President signs Secret Service bill and pleads for gun control legislation. Rocket shower, most damaging rocket strike yet, hits Saigon. These and other top stories of this hour on CBS Radio News. Good morning, this is Neil Strauser, CBS News, New York. Since dawn this morning, this, his adopted city of New York, has been paying its last respects to the assassinated Senator Robert Kennedy. His body lies in state at St. Patrick's Cathedral, and there, observing the scene, is CBS News correspondent Morton Dean.
Is mahogany. There are no frills. Around it are six ornate gold candle staffs that hold candles that are replaced the moment they burn out. Four young men stand near the coffin, friends of the senator, workers in his campaign. Each half hour they are relieved by another group of four. The mourners file by each side of the coffin. Some touch it tenderly, others grasp at it, not wanting to let go. Others kneel to kiss it. Some of the mourners are young enough so that their lips meet the mahogany without bending at the knees. Some who file by turn away quickly, appearing anxious not to grip the reality of the loss. Mrs. Rose Kennedy spent a few minutes in this great church this morning. A policeman who led her into the church whispered to her, "We will ensure that you'll not be bothered." Senator Ted Kennedy has spent hours in silent prayer. Outside, for blocks around the church, we can see just thousands upon thousands of persons. Five blocks away, they are lined up, all waiting for those few seconds at the side of the casket. Seconds they will never forget. One thing about a tragedy of this kind, its memory, if not its meaning, is never forgotten. Morton Dean, CBS News, at St. Patrick's Cathedral.
A few hours from now in Los Angeles, a grand jury will meet to consider a murder charge against Siran Siran, the young Arab who's being held in the shooting. The other five persons wounded in that shooting attack are reported much improved this morning. We'll have more news in a moment.
Man, this food is great.
I know, but I am paying for it with heartburn and gas.
Don't you carry Digel with you?
Digel?
Sure, when you eat too well, demand Digel.
Why?
Because Digel is the extra action antacid.
What do you mean?
Well, the Digel gives you more complete relief. Digel not only neutralizes excess acid, it has the extra action of simethicone, which breaks up bubbles of gas. Here, I've got some Digel tablets with me. They'll fix you up fast.
Thanks.
Comes in liquid, too, at all drug counters. Now, don't forget it.
What?
When you eat too well, demand Digel.
Boy, will I ever.
Stop sunburn pain with Solarcaine. Solarcaine stops sunburn pain faster than ordinary first aids. Contains pain-killing benzocaine used by doctors. Solarcaine actually stops the sensation of pain itself. Cools, soothes, aids healing too. Get Solarcaine lotion, cream, or spray today.
President Nguyen Van Thieu of South Vietnam today has cabled President Johnson, expressing his regret at the death of Robert Kennedy. Thieu said Senator Kennedy nourished great and generous dreams about a better world, and even those who do not share his concepts on how to achieve these lofty aims, he said, respect and admire his idealism, dedication, and courage. The South Vietnamese leader obviously referring to the late senator's views on Vietnam. Together with the messages of sympathy from abroad, there are religious services being held in many spots today. At Vatican City, a private mass. Patrick Riley reports from Rome.
The Pope offered a mass of requiem this morning for Senator Robert Kennedy. A Vatican press officer said Pope Paul offered his mass to ask of God peace for the soul of the departed man, comfort for those who remain here weeping, and pity for this poor world shattered by violence. The Vatican press officer also told how Pope Paul had followed the bulletins about Senator Kennedy from the moment of the shooting until the very last bulletin of his death. He told how Pope Paul broke off a meeting with one of his key cardinals when news of Senator Kennedy's death arrived. The Pope went to pray and to dictate his telegrams of condolence to the widow, Ethel, and to President Johnson. The press officer added on behalf of the Vatican, "When we weep over the death of Senator Kennedy, We must weep also over the deaths of those who die while talks for peace are prolonged indefinitely. He was speaking, of course, about negotiations in Paris for peace in Vietnam. This is Patrick Riley in Rome.
It is still uncertain whether President Johnson will fly to New York tomorrow to attend the funeral services for Senator Kennedy. But in the meantime, the president has signed into law the bill authorizing Secret Service protection for all other presidential candidates. The measure was rushed through the Congress and signed in a single day. The president also pleaded again for passage of stronger gun control legislation, something stronger than the restrictions on handgun sales contained in the anti-crime bill, which was passed by the House and sent to him yesterday. While Washington waits to bid its final respects to Senator Kennedy tomorrow, some other events in the nation's capital. The former broadcaster John Charles Daly has resigned as head of the Voice of America, charging executive undercutting by his boss, USIA Director Leonard Marks. And Bayard Rustin has threatened to quit as coordinator of the planned June 19th Mass Poor People's March unless he receives more authority. Tropical Storm Abby is driving over Georgia this morning, apparently headed for extinction, but bringing heavy rains in its last hours. More in a moment.
We used to double date because we're sisters, but alas, our dates were few and far between. Oh, how we wondered why we missed with all the misters, until Ultra Bright came on the scene. Ultra Bright entered our lives. Wow! Ultra Bright changed our whole lives. Now, all of a sudden, Cupid's arrow's gone pink. I'm dating like mad, and I've got a ring. We're such a woosome twosome, believe us, it's for real. Ultra Bright gives your mouth sex appeal.
Ultra Bright toothpaste, the kickiest taste, the freshest breath, the brightest teeth. That's sex appeal.
Ultra Bright toothpaste, a taste you can really feel. Ultra Bright gives your mouth sex appeal.
After Ultra Bright, everything else is just toothpaste.
There's been another incident of labor strife in France this morning, strikers and police clashing as police sought to evict the strikers from a Renault auto plant outside Paris. In South Vietnam, the Viet Cong today launched their bloodiest rocket attack of the war against Saigon. Explosions ringed the presidential palace, killed 25 persons, wounded 46 more, and destroyed some 27 buildings. Military spokesman said the 16 rockets did more damage than previous terror barrages of 100 or more shells. It marked the seventh day in a row of terror shelling of the capital. Guerrilla defectors and captured Viet Cong documents say the attack on Saigon is designed to strengthen the hand of North Vietnam in those preliminary peace talks in Paris.
Know what's happening this month? School proms. If you don't remember, ask your daughter. And while you're at it, show her this month's Woman's Day magazine. There's an 8-page beauty guide, especially for teenagers. Is your hallway ready for summer visitors? If not, then look in our June issue. You'll find floor plans and photos showing how halls can look more dramatic. And there's lots more in the biggest bargain of the month, Woman's Day, with the baby on the cover. Now at your supermarket checkout.
Toastettes for breakfast, warm and crisp and apple-y.
The cherry ones,
the berry ones, Nabisco makes the very ones to start your day off happily.
Toastettes toaster pastries taste as good as you hoped they would, because they're baked by a baker, Nabisco.
A day that starts with Toastettes for breakfast can't be all that bad.
The treasure apparently is there for the taking, but the question is by whom and how. In fact, it's been there since 1712, when a Dutch East India merchantman sank off the coast of Australia, about 400 miles north of Perth. And the presence of the wreck has been known since 1927, when the vessel's figurehead was washed ashore. It's believed about 100,000 silver guilders and other coins went down with the ship, a treasure estimated at over $5 million. The problem, number one, is dangerous diving conditions over the reef. And two, at least two private syndicates that want to take on the job. The Australian government must make the choice, or perhaps it will decide to go treasure hunting itself. At this point, no one knows. Neil Strauser, CBS News, New York.
Stay tuned for regular CBS News reports on the CBS Radio Network station.
This is CBS News. A nation mourns. Thousands file past Senator Kennedy's coffin at St. Patrick's Cathedral. A world prays. Pope Paul says Mass for the senator. More Masses are planned for tomorrow. Leaders send condolences. Messages pour in from all over the globe. And the war continues. Saigon suffers its heaviest bombardment yet. These and other top stories at this hour on CBS Radio News. Good morning. This is CBS News in Washington. Steve Rowan reporting. Eight abreast in a line stretching along seven city blocks and then back again on the other side of the street. Whites, Negroes, Puerto Ricans, young men in work clothes, elderly ladies in print dresses, nuns, nurses, young girls in miniskirts. A somber crowd moving slowly toward the entrance to St. Patrick's Cathedral to pay their last respects to Senator Robert Kennedy, whose body lies in a closed coffin on a maroon catafalque before the main altar in the 89-year-old church in New York. Friends and relatives of the Kennedy family are keeping a constant vigil around the bier, four at a time in half-hour shifts. And CBS News correspondent Mort Dean reports that the pews of the cathedral now are filling with mourners who do not want to leave. Senator Edward Kennedy, the last of the four sons of Joseph and Rose Kennedy, sat with his brother's body through the long night. Outside, by the time the great doors of the cathedral were opened at 5:40 this morning, a crowd of 1,000 had gathered, and a short time ago, police estimated that 20,000 persons were waiting in the streets to file past the bier. At 6 o'clock this morning, a mass for the dead was said in Senator Kennedy's memory at an altar some distance from the coffin. "Let us pray that God will bless Bobby Kennedy," a priest's voice was heard to say. "Let us pray that God will give the Kennedy family courage to endure this trying time." In the Vatican, Pope Paul VI offered Mass for the senator today, imploring from God peace for the soul of the deceased, comfort for those he leaves behind, and mercy for this poor world shaken by violence. In Ballachalley County, Wexford, Ireland, villagers filled the tiny church where Senator Kennedy's ancestors once worshipped last night for a requiem mass arranged by the senator's third cousin, Mrs. Mary Ryan, herself a Kennedy, who now lives in the ancestral home near Dunganston. More masses will be said throughout the world today and tomorrow as Catholics and those of every other faith pray for those things Pope Paul was praying for this morning: peace for the soul of the deceased, comfort for those he leaves behind, and mercy for this poor world shaken by violence. CBS News correspondent Charles Collingwood reports from Paris.
There will be a special mass tomorrow for Robert Kennedy at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Paris, and special services on Sunday at the American Cathedral and the American Church in Paris. Meanwhile, hundreds of Frenchmen continue to go into the American Embassy to sign the Book of Remembrance placed in the lobby beneath a picture of Senator Kennedy. There are further editorials in all French newspapers today, expressing horror for the crime and sympathy for the Kennedy family and the American nation. General de Gaulle is not sending a special representative to Senator Kennedy's funeral, but will be represented by the French ambassador in Washington. Charles Collingwood, CBS News, Paris.
Soviet Prime Minister Alexei Kosygin's message of condolence to Mrs. Ethel Kennedy was published today on the front page of the Soviet Communist Party newspaper Pravda. The message said the Soviet people were deeply indignant at the foul murder. The authoritative Egyptian newspaper Al Aram in Cairo today described the assassination as a painful incident. It said the senator would have been an ideal presidential candidate had he adopted as fair an attitude toward the Palestinian issue as he did toward Vietnam. Another Cairo newspaper said world Zionism and its allies were attempting to exploit the assassination to slander the Arabs. Referring to the alleged killer's Arab descent, the newspaper said Arabs did not agree with the principle of political assassination, whatever their differences with others. From Saigon came South Vietnamese President Nguyen Van Thieu's telegram to President Johnson expressing heartfelt condolences on the death of the senator, who was a fervent critic of the war in Vietnam. Thieu said Kennedy was a great American, and even those who do not share his concepts of how to achieve his lofty aims respect and admire his idealism, his dedication, and courage. Radio Hanoi reported on the senator's death and said that he had been strongly critical of President Johnson's home and foreign policies. In Los Angeles, 17 eyewitnesses will testify today on the murder of Senator Kennedy, while public officials continue their quarrel over the release of evidence about the accused assassin. The witnesses are scheduled to appear before the Los Angeles grand jury, from which lawyers hope to secure a murder indictment against 24-year-old Jordanian refugee Sirhan Sirhan. Sirhan remained under heavy police guard in the county jail today. He will not appear at that grand jury closed session. But among the witnesses who will appear are Negro Olympic champion Rayford Johnson and Los Angeles Rams star Roosevelt Greer, who pinned down Sirhan moments after Senator Kennedy was shot in the kitchen of the Ambassador Hotel early Wednesday morning. Lawmen who believe they have an airtight case against Sirhan have voiced concern that statements made by Mayor Sam Yorty of Los Angeles might damage the prosecution case by jeopardizing Sirhan's legal rights. They're worried over the possibility that he might claim that he could not get a fair trial. That same concern surrounded the disclosure of evidence gathered on the president's accused killer, Lee Harvey Oswald, who was murdered before coming to trial. On Wednesday, the day Kennedy was shot, Mayor Yorty told reporters that an entry in a diary allegedly kept by Sirhan said the senator must be killed by June the 5th, 1968, the first anniversary of the beginning of the Middle East War. And at another news conference yesterday, Yorty said there was no doubt about Sirhan's communist sympathies. He blamed the influence of communism for the crime. Mayor Yorty said today that he will attend funeral services for Senator Kennedy, despite reports that the senator's widow and several Democratic clubs have urged him to stay away. Kennedy and Yorty had been at odds over various issues, a friction dating back to 1960 when Yorty supported then-Vice President Richard Nixon, a Republican, over John Kennedy, the late senator's brother, in the presidential campaign. Yorty said, "I plan to attend Senator Kennedy's funeral as a representative and as a mayor of Los Angeles. I will lead a delegation of five councilmen from the city. My personal differences with Senator Kennedy in the past," he said, "were political and not personal." The mayor's spokesman also said that a proposal by Yorty that he ride in that procession with the body from Good Samaritan Hospital to the airport yesterday was turned down by representatives of the Kennedy family. Yorty also has received a telegram from seven Democratic clubs in the San Fernando Valley, a suburb of Los Angeles, urging that he not attend the funeral. The telegram said Yorty's actions have brought discredit to the people of Los Angeles. Another result of the tragic event is reported now from that collection of tents and plywood huts here in Washington called Resurrection City. CBS News reporter Hal Walker is there.
The Four People's Campaign has called a moratorium on demonstrations until after the funeral of Senator Robert Kennedy tomorrow. Hosea Williams, who assumed the leadership role here at Resurrection City, announced the pause in direct action campaigns as he arrived shortly after 9:30 this morning. Reverend Ralph David Abernathy, who heads the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, will hold a full news conference later this morning to give details of the SCLC's plans for a tribute to the slain senator. Meanwhile, open friction among the top leadership of the Poor People's Effort continues to mar the campaign. Byard Rustin, appointed to coordinate the June 19th March of Support, pulled out yesterday after his role in the march became clouded. He has given Reverend Ralph Abernathy until noon today to assure his full charge of the June 19th demonstration. Also in the camp itself, open hostility between Negroes and Mexican Americans tends to lessen the effectiveness of street demonstrations, and there are loud mutterings of discontent that leaders are not living at the campsite with their poorer followers. Al Walker, CBS News, at Resurrection City in Washington.
From Saigon today comes word that the Viet Cong have launched their bloodiest rocket attack of the war against the capital of South Vietnam. Explosions ringed the presidential palace, killing 25 persons, wounding 46, and destroying 27 buildings. Military spokesman said 16 rockets were launched, doing more damage than previous terror barrages of 100 or more shells. Tropical storm Abby swooshed across the Georgia flatlands today, its dying throes lashing towns and farms with 45 to 50 mile an hour winds and heavy rains. Storm warnings are in effect from Savannah to Charleston, South Carolina, but the Miami Weather Bureau says these probably will be lowered this afternoon since Abby is weakening. Former television personality John Charles Daly has quit as head of the Voice of America, accusing his boss of executive undercutting and maladministration in the transfer of an aide. Daly submitted his resignation Thursday, effective immediately. He complained that Leonard Marks transferred one of his VOA aides while Daly was abroad. That's the news. Steve Rowan in Washington.
Stay tuned for regular CBS News reports on this CBS Radio network station.
Thank you. This is Nelson Benton, CBS News, Washington. Mourners by the thousands are filing past the closed casket of Senator Robert Kennedy this morning as it reposes in St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York. Crowds started gathering before dawn. Those paying their last respects to the New York senator are filing past the bier rather briskly, each passing for only a second or so past the casket. Some stop to kiss the coffin. Occasionally, one will stop to take a quick picture. The senator's funeral will be held tomorrow, with burial later in Arlington National Cemetery near Washington. It is not yet known whether President Johnson will attend the Kennedy funeral, and the probability is that for security reasons, no advance announcement will be made in any case. There is no word yet on precisely where at Arlington Cemetery the body of Senator Kennedy will be buried. There is some assumption that his remains will not lie next to those of his older brother, the late President John F. Kennedy, but as yet this has not been disclosed. Indications in Washington are that the actual preparation of the gravesite for Senator Kennedy may not begin until perhaps less than 24 hours before his burial, that to come late tomorrow afternoon, after the body is brought by special train from New York to Washington, after a procession that will wind past the Capitol and past the Justice Department, where the senator served his country as legislator and prior to that as Attorney General. One of the places on the route of the procession through Washington tomorrow is the once muddy, now dusty campsite of the Poor People's Campaign, Resurrection City. Nearly 3,000 people there felt a special affection for the New York senator, considered him one most likely to aid their plight. A report now on the residents of Resurrection City from CBS News correspondent Daniel Shore.
Resurrection City, its leadership torn with internal dissension, has declared a moratorium on street demonstrations because of the death of Senator Kennedy. The tent city will be thrust into the spotlight in a new way tomorrow, by an accident that Martin Luther King could not have foreseen when he planned the city before his assassination. This will be the last landmark in Washington that the funeral cortege will pass tomorrow before proceeding across the Memorial Bridge, the Lincoln Memorial Bridge, to Arlington National Cemetery. And while they wait, the citizens of Resurrection City talked to me of Senator Kennedy's assassination.
I don't think anything of Kennedy's death. You understand? I think about my people, not about your people. You can kill them all you want to. You've been killing them ever since you've been here on the planet.
And you should get some of these politicians if they want to kill them. All the whole thing is conspiracy, working through by the big authorities. That's where it's coming in, huh? You should know that. That's all I have to say.
He was a good man, I say. And I was real sorry when I heard he got shot and everything. That's all I have to say about it.
He did mean a lot to me. For one reason, I liked his brother when he was president. Another reason is because I knew he would have been a good president and he would have at least tried to stop the war in Vietnam and bring back our boys.
The people of the Poor People's Campaign, varying between grief and anger. Now again, Nelson Benton.
Reports from Paris indicate that Ambassador W. Averill Harriman, who is flying from Paris to New York for the Kennedy funeral, will confer with President Johnson on the Vietnam peace talks during his trip home. Both Harriman and negotiator Cyrus Vance are flying home today. The next scheduled meeting with negotiators for the government of North Vietnam is now set for next Wednesday. In Vietnam, another fierce rocket attack on the capital city of Saigon, the bloodiest such attack yet by the Viet Cong. Enemy rockets ringed the presidential palace in the heart of Saigon. 25 persons were killed, 46 wounded, 27 buildings were destroyed. It was the seventh day of consecutive shelling of Saigon by the Viet Cong. Defectors and captured documents say that the Saigon attacks are designed to strengthen North Vietnam's hand in the Paris negotiations. Violence is continuing sporadically in France's civil crisis. Riot police and thousands of striking auto workers battled with stones and tear gas grenades today at the Renault auto plant in a Paris suburb. Several hundred students reinforced the strikers. Broadcaster John Charles Daly has resigned his job as head of the U.S. government's Voice of America. Daly has charged his boss, Leonard Marks, who heads the U.S. Information Agency, with executive undercutting by reassigning members of Daly's staff. Nelson Benton, CBS News, Washington.
Stay tuned for regular CBS News reports on this CBS Radio network station.
This is CBS News.
tribute at St. Patrick's, the lines are long and unending. Reaction from a poet, Russia's Yevtushenko reacts to the assassination. Report from Panama, a Latin American expression of sorrow. Departure from Paris, the ambassadors are flying to attend the funeral. These and other top stories on CBS Radio News. This is Alan Jackson, CBS News, New York. And still they pass. The mourners come to pay their last respects to Senator Robert Kennedy, whose body lies in the huge St. Patrick's Cathedral on Manhattan's Fifth Avenue. CBS News correspondent Morton Dean has the story from there.
The well-known and the unknown file past the coffin of Senator Robert F. Kennedy. Some leave the long lines to the pews, kneeling there in silent and tearful prayer. An honor guard of Kennedy associates stands, three men on each side of the coffin in 30-minute shifts. Now there are famous names in that honor guard. Former Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara stands in a state of shock. Former Secretary of the Treasury Douglas Dillon is with him. Singer Andy Williams, a close personal friend of the senator, stands stiffly. Sports and television personality Joe Garagiola stares straight ahead over the casket and dreamily into the crowd. The thousands continue to wait entrance into the well of the church. The sun is hot. The emotion swells, it seems, as the morning moves on. There have been a number of women overcome by the heat and the emotion and have been treated here at the scene. The Kennedy family, in evidence, Mrs. Rose Kennedy has been here. Senator Ted Kennedy, now the only surviving brother when once there were four, has been here most of the night and morning. Several of the late senator's 10 children have prayed silently at the coffin's side. It has been an awful day. There have been too many of them lately. Morton Dean, CBS News, St. Patrick's Cathedral.
In Washington this morning, the Poor People campaigners, for whom Senator Kennedy had such great sympathy, announced a moratorium on further demonstrations until after the senator's funeral and burial tomorrow. And they plan a news conference later this morning to outline their own plans for a tribute to Robert Kennedy. More news in a moment.
When you're listening to a news report on this CBS Radio Network station, you're listening to the end product of teamwork that spans the globe. CBS News correspondents in every major news area of the world are on call throughout the day and night. Their job is to get the news quickly, accurately, and completely, and then report it to you in clear, concise language on the hourly CBS News broadcasts you hear over this station. Count on CBS News to keep you best informed first. To keep you best informed, CBS News counts on the skill, experience, and dedication of CBS News correspondents and reporters around the world. These top newsmen, in turn, count on NetAlert for speed. They know that NetAlert can relay their reports to this and all CBS Radio Network stations simultaneously in a matter of seconds when news is of bulletin importance. Stay tuned right here and be best informed first by CBS News and NetAlert.
In many countries of the world, there are tributes to Senator Kennedy. Italian workers paused their jobs for 10 minutes this morning, with communist and non-communist unions across the country joining in the demonstration of sorrow. From Latin America, correspondent James Goodsell reports from Panama City.
Panamanian President Marco Robles joined the chorus of tribute to Senator Kennedy today, issuing a statement that called the New York senator an authentic defender of human liberties and a true exponent of the deep goodwill of the American people toward Latin America. The Robles statement came in the wake of two other expressions of sorrow over the assassination by the two men who are disputing Panama's recent presidential election. Both Arnulfo Arias and David Zamudio, each signing himself president-elect of Panama, sent messages to the Kennedy family. Panama City newspapers contain little other news than stories, photographs, and comment on the assassination. Editorial comment ranges from eulogies to concern over what the assassination may mean for Latin America, with many papers saying that the Senator Kennedy, like his brother, the late President Kennedy, was a true friend of the Latin American nations. James Goodsell, Panama City.
Reaction in Arab states to the assassination of Senator Robert Kennedy continues to follow a bizarre line. Several Arab newspapers claim that the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency, had connived with Jewish financial interests in the killing. In Moscow, the Russian poet Yevgeny Yevtushenko wrote a special, strongly worded poem saying that perhaps only a sense of shame in America can curb the violence. He wrote, You're firing at yourself, America. If you go on, you will really kill yourself. The words of Yevgeny Yevtushenko. The District Attorney of Los Angeles is preparing to go before a grand jury to ask for a murder indictment against the young man named Sirhan Sirhan, who was originally booked on 6 counts of assault with intent to murder. The normal procedure would be to file a formal murder complaint at this point, but the District Attorney has decided to make a presentation direct to the grand jury with evidence to justify an indictment. And he says this should be completed by tonight, although it might be a long day. In some of the day's other news, near Paris, some 5,000 strikers tried to storm an automobile plant which reopened this morning. They hurled bricks and ball bearings at riot police, and the police struck back with tear gas. But in the rest of France, public transport, garbage collection, and mail delivery are slowly getting back to normal. Later today, President de Gaulle will speak on radio and television, the opening shot in the debate to win majorities in the general elections coming up later this month. At this hour, Ambassadors Averill Harriman and Cyrus Vance are leaving Paris for New York to attend the funeral of Senator Kennedy. The Vietnam peace talks are in recess until next Wednesday, and it's reported that Harriman will use part of the time in this country conferring with President Johnson on the stalemate in those talks. In Vietnam, the Viet Cong made their bloodiest rocket attack on the war against Saigon. 25 persons were killed, all South Vietnamese civilians, and there were explosions near the presidential palace. This was the 7th straight day of the Saigon attacks, and General William Westmoreland predicted the Viet Cong will continue to try to grab headlines, as he put it, by portraying a facade of strength. In Washington, John Charles Daly has resigned as director of the Voice of America, charging maladministration by his boss, USIA Director Leonard Marks. The mayor of San Francisco, Joseph Alioto, has proclaimed Turn In Your Gun Week starting July 4th. Alioto says he knows of no greater way of paying a tribute to Senator Robert Kennedy. Behind the mayor as he spoke was a large American flag draped with black ribbons. He urged the people of San Francisco to turn in all handguns at any police station and said no questions would be asked. The chief of police in San Francisco called the mayor's appeal a wonderful idea.